Hey, Redcasters, be sure to subscribe to our channel and ring the bell to be notified about our latest videos. Go Big Red.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast, the Husker Fan Sports Show.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast. I'm your host, David Gaspers, and I'm with Boomer.
Well, I'd just like to welcome everybody to the Go Big Redcast. And for any of our Michigan spies watching, don't worry. It's all streaming live on YouTube. You don't have to film a thing.
I don't have anybody in the back of my room like getting secret footage of any sort, Boomer. Are you sure?
Well, as far as you know, right? So just check some memos later. So
we'll be able to sort it out. It's the Michigan or the Chinese, you know? You can't trust either one of them, really. I tell you.
Okay,
so Redcast Rob.
Well, we are 4-1 in our last five games, and I'm going to Disneyland. No, really, I'm actually leaving for Disneyland tomorrow on a family vacation.
Oh, awesome. All right. You're literally going to Disneyland.
I'm literally going to Disneyland, and we are 4-1 in our last five games. So, I mean,
it's... Okay. All right. I thought maybe that was the justifying circumstance.
I mean, let's just say it is.
All right. That sounds good. Also, with the Redcast Strong, Talon.
We're off to our best start since 2016, so I'm enjoying the first seven games of the season so far.
Yeah, it's and we went 7-0 in 2016, and we were not very happy how that season ended. But you know, I would take two out of the last five because I would get a six this time around, right, guys?
Absolutely. I mean, even though we are going to go 9-3, it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, everything's on the table, Rob. And there's no one on the schedule that exactly scares anyone.
Training table too.
We can lose all five, or we could beat all five. But that's pretty much the case with the entire menagerie of the Big Ten West. So maybe we'll talk about that a little bit before we get into the bet cast. But would love to hear your thoughts on what went right and wrong on each side of the ball against the Wildcats and Northwestern. So let's start with the scoring explosion. That's where we talk all things Husker offense. And, well, there's once again not a lot out there, Boomer, that is that exciting. But bottom line is we keep on scoring more points than our opponents. And
that helps. Yeah,
that's the name of the game, right?
Yeah.
And we hit 17. So how'd we hit 17, Boomer?
Well, somehow, but you know, a lot of it was just finding ways to make something happen, you know, whether it's a field goal, you know, and a nice actual pass to Malachi Coleman. I'm sure Rob will, you know, happily probably retrace that entire play, you know, from the very beginning snap to the actual touchdown. You know, it was a nice nice play from the past, you know, setting it up with option runs and having that belly option pass. So kind of thing we've seen for, I don't know how many decades as Husker fans, and, you know, pulled it out of the bag of tricks. So,
yeah.
They're finding ways to score. They're not always pretty. And, you know, there are issues with the offense, and Husker Twitter was more than happy to point some of those out over this last week and, you know, getting kind of ugly. But right now you just keep winning. We're not quite to Iowa levels of ugliness winning, but or not winning, as the case may be on a given week this now. But
that's right.
Yeah, I mean, plays are there. There's just things that need to be fixed and tightened up. Like, even the opening pass, I mean, it wasn't a great – that was thrown for an interception. I mean, it was a bad read, not a great throw. But there were guys open. It was just
– yeah.
The execution wasn't there. So that's kind of been the theme for a lot of this year. So
Yeah.
It can work. It's just not being executed.
Yeah. We'll get to Rob and the Malachi catch here in a little bit. But let's talk about the first half a little bit. And Boomer, you're absolutely right. You know, the first play of the game, INT, he has open receivers there, and Heinrich Harburg just doesn't find them, forcing it into Fedoni a little bit. Second INT again to Fedoni, this time maybe a little bit more on Fedoni's fault, but it wasn't a great throwing ball either. End of the day, though, I mean, all the Big Ten West teams have their issues, and ours are just as apparent as anyone else's, right, Talon? So, you know, what's your take on how this offense can, maybe considering all the injuries we now have experienced, can keep getting 17 to 20 points a game?
Well, I think you got to take the positive out. Emmett Johnson played a good game. Heinrich's able to run the ball still. We do have open receivers. It's just, can Heinrich make those reads, make the right pass, and maybe stop forcing it into Fedoni? I feel like he's done that a couple of times this year where he's relying too much on that connection with his tight end, and it's just not working out well. He doesn't have the greatest throwing motion. We've seen that, you know, through his five starts now. So I think it's, we have to rely on the run game. I like what I see from Emmett Johnson. You know, Grant only got six carries, but I think as practice goes on, he's going to get more carries. They like what he does. He just needs to stop fumbling the ball. I think we're going to be able to score points with our run game. And I don't, you know, we're going to throw it maybe 17 to 20 times a game. And that's just fine with me.
Yeah. You know, Rob, I mean, you know, Harburg is clearly not a perfect quarterback. He's only started five games, though. He has had moments where you see his arm strength. And, you know, his decision-making can get better. Kyle just mentioned that throwing motion, which there's a reason you're inaccurate, right? I mean, you watched a lot of NFL, Rob. You've watched a lot of Raiders quarterbacks that have been inaccurate there over time. But some of your best quarterbacks, like Derek Carr, when he was there, very accurate, classic drop-back quarterback with a big arm and really good foundation and technique. Harburg can get better at that. Will he be able to be good enough to continue as the Nebraska starting quarterback in years to come? I don't know. But that's for the offseason, right? We need to figure out how to get two more wins out of these next five. And it seems like it's going to be Harburg under the center.
Yeah, so one of the things that I've noticed, too, and you know, I'm not going to put it all on Harburg at that, too. And you know, Honky has said this, and he's not here right now, but – you know, a lot of it has to do with the game plan, right? The interceptions are coming on scripted plays. We're still in like the first like 20 plays or so. Why we're dropping back to pass on the first play of the game when, you know, Harburg has strengths. And, you know, sometimes people run the pass to set up the run. And other times people, you know, run to set up the pass.
Sure.
And we're a team that cannot afford to pass to set up the run. We just need, because that's, I will say something, and I'll even quote Dion today when he was talking about the Michigan stealing signs thing. What he said was, look, man, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you can hand them the entire playbook. You still have to run the plays, and football's different because if you're bigger, better, stronger, and faster, you're still going to be able to run those plays. I mean, Mark Schlereth from the Denver Broncos used to, and when he was playing for Washington and Denver, used to literally tell the guy across from him, this is what we're running, and we're running it right at you. And then they would run the ball for 5-10 yards every single time with Terrell Davis, right? So, I mean, do we have those types of offensive linemen? No, but the point is that if your strength is running the ball, run the damn ball, right? And then set it up for the pass, which is what we did. In the second half, we don't even have to go there because you guys have made fun of me for my love of Malachi too many times already tonight.
We're holding that back though, Rob.
My point is that Harvard can be very serviceable, but the game plan has to be like constructed to his strengths. And I don't feel like they've done that in those scripted plays yet.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, that this is a good debate. Those are scripted plays. It's obvious. Almost everybody in college football, even in NFL, you script your first drive or two, first 10, 15 plays.
20 plays sometimes, right?
Yeah.
25, yeah.
And so it's interesting. They clearly intentionally came out with that play. And obviously they had confidence with Heinrich Harburg to make that throw. Now it's interesting. Maybe Northwestern ended up showing something slightly different. I don't know, Boomer, but there was clearly wide open receivers on that play. It just wasn't necessarily Fedoni, and he wasn't accurate even with that throw, right? But I guess my point here on this one is that
they came out in an odd front.
Robert, stick with me here for a second. No, is that they clearly trusted Harburg for that throw because they had been practicing it all week. Right. They'd seen him make the throw many times, probably. Right. So they're like, if we're going to run this, we're going to run it early when we have full confidence he can make that throw. I've seen him throw it, you know, 100 times in practice. And you know, you hear all these talks about should they put Jeff Sims back in, all this type of stuff. And I'm like, look, if either Jeff Sims or Chubba Purdy is playing better in practice, I at this point, I don't really think that Rule is going to play favorites with anyone, right? If he really thinks that those guys are significantly better than Heinrich Harburg, they would probably get the start, right? But I don't think that's the case. It's just one of those things where, you know, as a young quarterback, Boomer, the mental reps, the physical reps in practice are different than when you go out in front of 85,000 people, right?
Well, sure. I mean, that's true. Yeah, any position, whether it's quarterback, kicker, punter, you know, lineman, you know, jumping off sides, anything like that. Yeah, it's very different in a game, you know, scenario like that. And I'd have to agree with you. I would think if Purdy or Sims were noticeably better, they would have made that switch by now. And it's certainly possible that just with the depleted state of the offensive roster, that maybe you're just so limited to what you have, maybe Harburg is the best fit for the pieces that are left. You know, it's possible that, you know, that's just, you've drawn a game plan up. It fits kind of what Harburg does with who's left on the field. And, well, that is your best bet at this point. Because, like I said, we're going to be playing eight-man ball by the time, you know, Iowa rolls around. So this could be,
Let's run through those injuries really quick to make sure I've got them straight in my head. So we lost Billy Kemp.
Correct.
Is he for a couple weeks?
No,
for a couple weeks. He's got an MCL sprain, I think is what they said.
Sprain or strain. I can't remember which one of the terms they use. Yeah.
All right, then we also lost in this game
Piper.
Nuelli and Piper.
Yeah.
Piper for the season, Nuelli for a couple of games, and we also lost.
He had a procedure yesterday or the day before that will be out like 2 weeks, I think they said.
Okay, and we lost Corcoran.
Corcoran, too.
Yeah, Corcoran had a foot surgery, I think.
And three offensive linemen in one game.
Yeah, Next man up.
Well, there's not many next men left. That's the problem. I don't know.
Talon,
I mean,
the offensive line is thin. Ben
Scott going to the tent late night game.
Ben Scott went to the tent. He came out, and he's apparently healthy enough to play. So he might.
He was only out for like a play or two. He wasn't out for very many at all.
I had to watch it on my phone going up to Omaha, so I didn't see everything as I wanted to. So I saw him go in, and then I didn't see him come out. So I was just wondering what was going on there.
He just it looked like maybe he had like a quick ankle issue. They taped him up probably, and then sent him back out.
Because I mean, if Scott goes down, then what? Evan Jenkins is our backup center, and he's what slotted to play back, you know, guard now. So I mean, it's there's not a whole lot left in terms of experience or at least age on the line. If anybody gets hurt, dinged up, has to sit out for a little while, it's gonna be patchwork. I mean, you're almost down to playing freshman, I think, at the line.
Yeah.
Well, I'm making a trip to Lincoln so I can play this weekend too.
There you go. That'll be fair. Yeah. Rob still has eligibility left.
I mean,
Prohaska is now gonna be thrown into the fire. I mean, he's struggled a bit this year. He's also trying to get back from that knee surgery, and that's affected his mobility. Maybe it's time to just, you know, rip that off and see what happens. Utofsky is someone that's been people high on for years now. And he'll have a chance to shine. I think he has an opportunity. And Evans Jenkins is also someone they're pretty high on. So, I mean, you know, I guess if you want to try to spin it optimistically, A, you're getting lots of reps for these guys for next year. And maybe they show something that they haven't been able to show yet this year. So is that Brewmaster Bill? I had a note about the two interceptions being a post bye week jitters. It did seem like he was jitters, and it seems like that's the case kind of with several games with Harburg, that he gets better as he goes, right, Talon? And by the fourth quarter he seems far more in control of the offense.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because you would think in those scripted plays he would feel the most comfortable. Wouldn't that be those 20 plays that your quarterback's the most comfortable? And it kind of reminds me of the Michigan game a little, where we come out with five wide and throw it on, I think, the second play of the game. It's just odd. You know, we're supposed to be this running team, downhill running team, and we come out in two different games this year, and we're like, oh, let's throw it around the yard and see what happens, and those plays end up in interceptions. It's weird. I think.
Yeah, note to Satterfield, you're not fooling anybody.
But, including yourself.
Maybe it's Satterfield.
We're trying to make pass happen. Sorry.
Maybe it's just Satterfield trying to get back to what he wants to do and his philosophy of his game plan. Because I think he is more of a pass first kind of guy. You've seen it, you know, where he went to South Carolina.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what he's trying to force on the Harburg. And it's like, I think we've seen it enough in five starts that we're not that team. Maybe let's just stick to what we're good at. And the scripted plays, stop trying to get out of our comfort zone. Let's go down on the first drive of the game and put some points up, because, you know, we're just lucky that Northwestern's offense, our defense played well enough, but we're lucky that Northwestern's offense isn't as good as, you know, Michigan or these other schools that, you know, will put up 3-7 points and go up early when really we should just be trying to get our quarterback as comfortable as possible in that first quarter.
Well, Northwestern's never been that offense either.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
In fairness, nobody else in the Big Ten West is.
Yeah, I was going to say, nobody in the Big Ten West is either.
Yeah, Northwestern's offense has.
We scored 17 points, and we were the highest scoring team in the West last week. I just wanted to
clarify.
All right.
No, so no,
we,
no.
We are the offensive juggernaut.
Illinois and Wisconsin both scored more points than us.
Right? Oh, it was. Yeah.
But I good joke, though. I mean, the Big Ten West is questionable at offense at all scales. So, I it's one of those things where, you know, another good offseason topic is Marcus Satterfield. I mean, like, to Colin's point, I mean, at South Carolina, he was running a definitely a different offense than this, and one more based around Spencer Rattler. It wasn't that they didn't run the ball, but definitely a quarterback focus. We don't have Spencer Rattler running this offense, and Matt Rhule says he wants to be a run-heavy offense. I don't know why Marcus Satterfield was the pick in the first place. He obviously has a limited cast of characters this year, but it, next year and years after this, he won't get as much grace from the fan base, I think. And so it'll be interesting to see how that evolves over time. That's for certain. But I think we'll be heavy in the transfer portal to change the profile of this offense in short order. So, all right, guys, anything else on offense before we want to throw the bones?
Oh, we don't get to talk about Malachi's touchdown.
Oh, that's right, Rob. Let's talk about that. So, obviously we took the lead at halftime, with a good drive there. Harburg finally settled down, went up 10-6,
like a 10 play, and 75 yard drive or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
And then, a situation where we get a short field and, we went for it right away. Right, Rob?
Yeah,
walk us through the play.
Well, I mean, it was all set up by the run, and then it was a nice like option pass, and the pass was beautiful because it was dropped exactly where it could be. It was the only person who was going to catch it was Malachi. If it wasn't caught, nobody was catching it, right? So yep. That was beautiful, and I don't even want to talk about that. What I want to talk about on that play is how after the handoff, the defensive line didn't even bite as much as you thought they would have. There was a couple guys that stepped up on the second level there. A couple of linebackers kind of came forward, which really allowed the first cornerback. I think he let Malachi go right by thinking, you know, figuring the safety was going to cover him. And I think the safety was a little bit surprised that he was let go that early in the route. And, you know, but the thing that impressed me the most, and if you watch it and you stop it right before Harburg throws that ball, the pocket that is around him. I mean, he had probably a good 3 seconds to throw that ball, standing in the pocket, saw Malachi wide open, realized he had him on the inside, threw the ball as hard as he could, dropped it right at the back of the end zone in the middle of the field. Right. I mean, and Malachi was the only person there, but it was just set up so beautifully by what we do well on offense, which is the run and the option run. And everyone expected that to happen at that point. And then, boom, that was something. And that's how we should be passing the ball right there. I mean,
yeah, no,
maybe some jump offs to,
yeah,
you know, and I'm not even mad at the play selections for the tight end passes, but those need to be set up. As I said before, those need to be the plays that we set up for those passes. We don't need to be setting up the run with those passes. So, but I mean, And I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, I do talk to Malachi's parents quite a bit, right? Like, we have a little text chain together and we talk about the games and things like that. And I was like tears of joy. Like, I was so happy because just everything that kid's gone through, from like the social media scrutiny to, you know, just everything that he's gone through in life to get to the point to where he's at right now as a true freshman. You know, he was on campus early in the spring doing everything he could to work hard. You know, all signs indicate that he is just like a really good human being with his Fly Like Kai foundation that he's got for foster children, all of that. And then to see that on that stage at that time, you know, to kind of put the game away at that point, essentially, tell me a better feel good story out there on the field right now, you know, and all of our points were scored by Nebraska natives this week, which is super cool. I mean, it's every single point was scored by a Nebraska native this week. It was Harburg running it in, Malachi catching the touchdown, Alvano kicking the field goal. Right. So, I mean, there you go. I mean, I'm just staying positive about it all. Right. I mean, we are 4-1 in our last five games and just all of that. And that just put the icing on the cake for me. I've been waiting for it all season. I've been so excited to see it happen. And I mean, I was holy cow. I cussed on Twitter. Like I didn't even put like asterisks or anything like that in there. I literally typed out the words like, holy bleep. You know, like, cause I was that excited,
Well, that's cool, man. I mean, it's obviously a great opportunity for him to shine over the next five games and the really good start. It was a great throw by Harburg, to your point.
Seven games, actually.
We're 4-3.
There's seven five games. Plus left. We have the Big West championship, or we have the Big Ten championship game and a bowl game.
We do not want to be in the Big Ten championship game.
Yes, we do. Who cares? That's a good discussion. Can we talk about that? Because I saw a thing about Herdat where they did that, and I think we should.
Okay, let's talk about it in the scarlet colored glasses. I'm joking a little bit, but
yeah.
Anyway, it was a great throw by Harburg. Probably 55 yards in the air, maybe 58.
It was a 44 yard touchdown.
Yeah, but in the air.
In the air, yeah, probably about 56 yards or so.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, let's turn our attention to the defense with our throwing the bone section. And that was a good segue because, Rob, you mentioned there that after that score, it's 17-6. And it felt like the game was over right now. The defense did give up 3 points off of one big play, which I believe was Malcolm Hartzog tracked down the receiver and made a tackle, and then they held him to 3, right? And that's the difference between this team and other teams. That would have been a walk-in, but the effort there, the ability to make up for a mistake and still make a play, and then the defense responding and holding them to a field goal there keeps it to 17-9. And it did feel like it was over, Rob. So
it's my least favorite word in the world, and I'm going to use it, man. Culture. You know, that defense is a definition of the culture of what this team looks like right now. And that's heart, desire. That's the want to, you know what I mean? Like all these buzzwords I'm throwing out right now, corporate buzzword. But I mean, Hartzog knew he got beat and immediately turned around and ran like a 3.440 to catch that guy. And I mean, and he made it. And it wasn't just like a half-assed effort either. I mean, he dove. He got him by the ankles, brought him down at what, like the 15-yard line, I think it was, or so. And then I think we gave up like 4 yards in the next four plays. So, I mean, they aren't scientific, correct?
Boomer, calling out Rob. He just likes makes up numbers sometimes.
Well, I made it up on purpose. But, I mean, that's how fast Hartzog looked like he was running. He looked like he was running double speed compared to a wide receiver who's supposed to be the fastest guy on the field, right? So,
sure.
I mean – For me, that's the kind of thing that I want to see. I love good defense too. I mean, that got me going, man. That's just watching this team this year and the way that they attack the ball, like every single tackle on every single run, there's, you know, at the end of that play, there's 4, 5, 6 guys on the ball right there. Like these are not things that we've seen in the past because, you know, 3, 4 guys are missing tackles. But the first guy's setting up the play already, right? Like even if he misses a tackle, he's still putting hands on the player and slowing him down enough to allow the other guys who are rushing the ball to make and finish off that play. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. It's almost like you kind of want the offense off the field just to see the defense play some more in some ways, right?
Well, I mean, you know, I think it was Ty Robinson that the post-game presser said it's fun, right? You know, they're having fun out there. Boomer, you know, I think, you know, Honky hasn't had a lot of fun on social media recently. That's why he's off tonight. He's a little tired of some of the crazies out there. Hopefully we get him back because I like talking to the guy about football. But do you think Honky knew who James Williams was before Saturday?
We're just going to assume he does. You know, he stalks everybody. So he probably did a bit. But Yeah, let's hope he comes back soon enough. He just needs a little time to decompress and, you know, have another idle week, and I think he'll be back. So.
Yeah, yeah. But this defense is just throwing guys out there. James Williams, someone who's on the scout team, a clear walk-on from not even Iowa Western, Iowa Central, right?
Yeah,
I think so. That sounds right.
And yeah. And he contributes right off the bat. And that D-line looks like a machine out there. And Talon, the polar bear, is playing at darn near all Big Ten level right now.
Oh, man. And well, it's funny, too, because you said, does Honky know James Williams? I actually follow him on Twitter and tagged him immediately after that sack. Like,
you follow Honky on Twitter? Good for
no,
you.
No, I follow James. I follow Williams.
Oh.
And in the, it must have been from the locker room after the game. He actually liked my tweet and commented. So, you know.
Rob, like, the ultimate like, fanboy.
There you go, man. There you go. I mean, that's it's all paying off right now. It's all paying off finally.
All right. So back to Talon. I was asking you about Polar Bear. What do you think about Nash and his run of terror right now through the Big Ten West?
He's absolutely dominating, and I think it helps that he has Ty Robinson with him, that he can kind of
yeah.
On some double teams with him, and they can get in the backfield together. This D-line is just opening a whole world of pain on these teams that we're playing. I mean, we had 8 sacks and 13 tackles for loss against Northwestern.
Yeah.
I mean, when have we done that in the last, you know, 10 years? When, you know, it's just impressive what we're doing, and it just preaches to the, like Rob likes to point out, the culture that we are building here at Nebraska.
By the way, that's our second 8-sack game of the season.
Yep. We have, well, wow. Colorado allows 8 sacks about every.
That's, yeah, it's true. Yeah.
But the fact remains. I mean, it's still the second yeah. 8-sack game of the season.
They have the goal to get to 40, I think it was.
I don't even think we had 16 sacks all year last year. So
probably not in the last several years combined, it feels like, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like,
yeah. It's beautiful.
So,
tear to my eye.
So, Boomer, the defense is fun to watch, and they're going to keep us in a whole bunch of games here. You know, I think that the rest of the Big Ten West is paying attention though. And, I'm sure that we're going to get the best of some of these offenses here, you know, Purdue coming up. They might, you know, they've had a bye week. Do you expect Purdue to try to maybe throw some wrenches out there and see if they can kind of surprise the defense a little bit?
Yeah, I think you'd have to. I mean, granted the best of the Big Ten West offenses is still not much, but any team, I think really what you have to do, you've got to try to stretch the field a little bit. And, you know, where teams have had success on the defense, it's been when they've been able to pass a bit on it. And you've got to have a line that can hold up and buy a little time for it. Northwestern didn't have that, and they were playing their backup quarterback, and, you know, the defense certainly made them pay for that, you know, like you said, with 8 sacks. And then the times when something would go right for Northwestern, they'd get, you know, turnovers and key plays, or get down to the Nebraska red zone, and then they could hold them to field goals, you know, combine that with all the penalties that Northwestern was piling on. You know, being able to take advantage of those things is something, you know, this defense does in spades compared to, you know, the last few seasons where, like, you know, Rob alluded to, when something would go wrong, they would just let it go wrong and it would end up in a touchdown and eventually a loss.
Yep.
This defense doesn't do that, but yeah, to be curious to see what you know, teams try. I think Purdue, you know, they're not great at anything in particular, but we'll see what they do. I think Maryland will be an interesting test for the defense in a few weeks, but we'll cover that in a few weeks. You know, we're just taking this one game at a time, just like Coach Rule here.
That's right. Hopefully no more Maryland coaches get arrested for DUIs between now and then.
Well, given the Big Ten, God only knows what will happen to a coach next week. So,
yeah, that's the truth. That's the truth. Talon, other defensive standouts that you want to mention? I mean, it was once again a banner day. No touchdowns given up, 3 field goals.
I think it was nice to have Reimer back. That's a huge, huge gap we were missing the last couple weeks. I think our D-line, Prince Wells, playing well as a freshman too. He's really stepping up. Having Lenhart come him coming back and playing healthy is really big for us. He was having a really tremendous year for those first 3 games before he got hurt. But I think just getting all these guys back healthy on the defensive side of the ball is really going to help us progress through this last 5 games of the year. Purdue scares me a little bit just because they're more of a pass-centric offense, and I think Hudson Carr can kind of get out of the pocket and make those unscheduled throws, like kind of like JJ. Now he's not JJ McCarthy, but he can kind of make those throws. I mean, this did beat out.
He's athletic. He's a big guy. Played at Texas. Nice 4-star guy
last year. So to start that season. I mean, you know, he's got a tremendous amount of talent, and they got four guys with over 20 catches this year. They got three guys with over 300 yards receiving, and that's kind of our weakness on defense is the pass game. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how we can kind of fix that and make them as one dimensional as possible, so they have to stand back and we can get some guys in the backfield.
Yeah, I think we have to go after that quarterback. I mean, Hudson Card, I think he's thrown for 1,600 yards. He can sling it if you give him time. He's been beat up this year because they can't keep him upright, and we're going to have to try to get 8 more sacks. You know, Boomer, I think something if we're going to win at least 2, maybe 3 or 4 of these games, the defense, kind of like an Iowa defense, might need to actually score some points occasionally. We haven't seen a lot of that, but this year would be a game potentially with a Purdue offense maybe that's a tick better than Illinois or Northwestern, where we might need 7 points from those guys. So hopefully it's maybe a scoop and score or INT of some sort, but that would be a game changer, huh?
Yeah, either that or a special team score would be nice too. We haven't seen that for quite a while, and you know, neither has Iowa apparently, but we'll cover that later too. But
well, they cheated to get that, obviously.
Well, of course they did. Yeah, so we all know the truth. No, that would be a great help, you know, just to even take any more pressure off the offense to try to have to just take that 17, 18, 19, 20 points that it seems like they just need to hit to win a game. But the defense could do that. So, I mean, you know, we can win ugly, so that's fine. Let's just keep doing that this year and move on next year.
Let's talk about special teams a little bit there, Boomer. Alvano had a big kick in the win, 47 yards, and he smashed that. Tommy Hill had a decent kick return. Now he's dinged up again. But your point, I mean, the punts have been good, pretty good. I mean, you got to be pretty happy overall with special teams in this last game or two, huh?
Yeah, I mean, there haven't been any catastrophic, you know, failures, which is okay. I still would like to see something better in the punt return, you know, game.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see some of the younger wide receivers have a shot at, you know, returning kicks, especially with Kemp and everybody else out, that, you know, get them out there and give them a try at it. I mean, why not at this point? So.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you got to lose? Oh, wait a second.
Oh, wait. So, are we talking about the Purdue game yet? I kind of.
We've been just dabbling in it, Rob.
Yeah, we're kind of tiptoeing around.
Well, I was just looking at some of the numbers, right? The comparative numbers of what, you know, we give up. And so, and you guys were talking about the passing yards and how the defense, you know, in the secondary, that's our one weakness. Well, I mean, we're giving up about 237 yards a game passing, whereas Purdue's giving up about 240 yards passing, right? So it's pretty even right there. So, you know, that's you know, okay. I mean, and they throw for actually less yards than we give up every year, right around the exact same amount. So that's about even, right? So I'll call that a wash, right? But on defense, they're giving up 153 yards rushing a game, and we're averaging 200. And then, you know, we're only giving up 76 yards rushing a game, and them rushing, I mean, they're, you know, 90th in the country at 140 yards, if give or take, in rushing, right? Where we're averaging 200 yards. So it's like, and they're giving up a lot of yards rushing. So advantage Nebraska, I guess, in that sense.
Rob's fun with numbers.
It is. Yeah. It is. And they're also
the deep. I don't think he's making these entirely up.
And we're giving up just under 19 points a game. Okay. As a defense. Mm-hmm. And
scoring just over 18.
And scoring actually 19.3. So we're giving up about taking a half a point per game. Mm-hmm. But importantly, more importantly here is that Purdue allows about 30 points a game. And so their defense is not very good. So
I
think the key to the game when all is said and done is just continue our ground attack, and continue time of possession is going to be huge in this one. And if we can go out there and rush for our 200 yards and we can put up some points and we can just, you know, not give up scoring opportunities like we didn't last game. We didn't really give up too many scoring opportunities, right? That if we can just play that game, I mean, we win this game probably by like, I'll call it, I don't want to say 2 scores, but a score and a half. How's that? Like, give or take, right?
More than 1 score.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I my head's spinning with those numbers, Rob. I don't know if they really tell me a whole lot, but I mean, it did seem like you skipped the Purdue's passing yards per game compared to our.
No, I didn't. I said we give up about 230, and they give and they have about 230. So it's even. It's right. A wash.
So we should expect to give up 230 yards to them throwing. Yeah. Is what you're telling me.
Exactly. Because that's what we usually give up.
All right. Well, I mean, it's a
schedule to start the season too. I mean, they've had Wisconsin, Iowa, Ohio State, Illinois. I mean, they've had the bulk of the Big Ten West, and then probably one of the best teams in the country. So they have been on, you know, home for four of their six games. I think there's four or five of their seven games, but they've had a tough schedule to come in. They played a pretty all right Syracuse team, probably one of the best teams of the group of five in Fresno State. So
this team.
You know, they've had a tough schedule. They've played some good teams. You know, we really haven't played, you know, we haven't played the bulk of the Big Ten West. We still have Wisconsin. We still have Iowa, Maryland. You know, they're going to be coming in looking to beat us. So I think it's all just relative numbers, right?
But that's a good point, Colin.
I think on the red zone, though, is where we're stronger on the pass, too. I mean, I don't know how many passing touchdowns, but like, yeah, we allow teams to get down the field, but once they get into the red zone, we've been clamping down really well on a lot of those teams. And that's kind of an area where I think we'll be able to take advantage this weekend, you know, at least that's my hope.
Keeping teams from scoring seven, and, you know, we'll let them have three and figure it out as we go. I think that's a very good point, Rob.
Bend, don't break. I think is
we kept Northwestern out of the end zone, and
we did
that made a huge difference, right? Those three field goals were even two of them were touchdowns. That'd be a completely different game. So, I think it's something that we'll need to continue to deliver on. All right, anything else on the defensive breakdown or special teams? All right, well, let's transition to scarlet colored glasses and just talk a little bit about the big picture in the Big Ten West and how Nebraska football fits into that. Because as Rob likes to drink the Kool-Aid, you know, I mean, we are just as much as anyone else a contender in the Big Ten West this year, sitting at 4-3. And, you know, I mean, this is an opportunity. We talked a couple of weeks ago before the Illinois game is like, you know, I mean, want to beat Illinois. If we don't, we got to go and beat Northwestern and Purdue. Well, we did beat Illinois, and we have taken care of Northwestern. And this is the chance to win three in a row for the first time since 2016. First time to get to 5-3 since then.
Since before Talon was born.
It just feels that way, Rob.
It does.
And so huge opportunity here. You know, I think Purdue does give us a little different challenge in the last two. But it's still out there. It's a home game. And then you go up to East Lansing and you try to knock each one of these off. So, Rob, I mean, give us a big dose of Kool-Aid here. And how are we going to keep this train going and play meaningful games in November?
Well, you know, after the Illinois one, too, like I actually never had it's weird. And it's the first time I felt this way. Even with the start of the Northwestern game, I never felt like that was a game we were going to lose. I honestly felt like that was a game we were going to win. I thought the point spread was actually a little bit big and I was right in that one. But I mean, at the same time, we won the game. It was, you know, I mean, it was hard fought. It was a little sloppy, but that's just how big West football is right now. Right. So, so I think we kind of continue that trend into this week. Our defense is still going to carry us, but I think the offense, you know, it feels like they're growing as we move along. Hopefully, again, we talked about it. The scripted plays are more to Harburg's strengths, not weaknesses. If we can work that out, continue that, control the ball, then we go into East Lansing next week. And, you know, hopefully we win that four in a row. I mean, holy cow. And we're bowl eligible. Boom. Right. And then I think
pressure's off.
And the pressure's off. And then you said it before, Dave, like at that point, anything can happen in those last three games. You know, we can beat Maryland. Absolutely. We can beat Maryland. You know, we can beat Wisconsin. I think I've watched Wisconsin like three times this year and they are not that great of a team. Now I say that and they'll probably come in and now put up 80 against us, but yeah, but, and then,
thanks, Rob.
And then of course, you know, Iowa's a rival and they're playing in Lincoln. So
yeah,
anything can happen. And, you know, and then from there, I mean, if we win out let's say we win out, we'll more than likely be in the Big Ten championship.
Yes, that okay. would be correct.
And I know you said, no, we don't want to do that because we get blown out. And there was a really interesting discussion that Herdat had on earlier with some of their guys on one of their shows. And it's like, well, what's the value in that? Like, what does that do to the team? You know what? They're there. And those guys will take, especially after.
It would be cool to win the Big Ten West in his last year. It would,
and be at that game and be able to, and just be able to have that experience, because you got to get there. And we'll be able to have the title of Big West champions, Big Ten West champions forever.
Yep. Nobody else. There was a Minnesota fan on Twitter saying that they can't let that happen. You know, just allow Nebraska fans to constantly say
we'll be the last Big Ten West
champions for eternity. That somebody has to step up and stop this.
Big 12 North champions. You know, before we left, that's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boomer. I mean, anything's possible. This offense. You know, if the defense keeps on playing the way it does, and the teams that we're playing. I mean, outside of Maryland, there's no offense that really scares anything out of you. And Maryland is at home and has been inconsistent. And I mean, there's just been some games where, you know, Wisconsin was able to patch together a win last week. They should have lost to Illinois, though. Maryland lost to Illinois, right? Am I not remembering that correctly? I mean, like, and that was right after we beat Illinois 20-7 and really handled them and could have easily scored more if we weren't turnover prone and with an inexperienced quarterback and a beat up offense. And they went and beat Maryland, right? So I don't know how good Maryland really is, but all I know is that we can keep on winning games. We are, you know, going to put together a surprising season. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the 2009 season where that offense just kind of stunk. It just never really could do anything, but we were smart enough to not let it get in the way of the defense. And ultimately, that team won 9 games because the defense was that good, right? And I don't know if our defense is that good, but maybe we get over 6 because that defense is maybe the best in the West.
Yeah, and like I said, we don't know if the defense is as good as the 2009 one was, but we know the offenses we're facing aren't anywhere near what 2009 offenses were.
Not at all.
Have to be that good. You know, pieces just kind of seem to be falling into place for. Amazing to say this for Nebraska to win out, you know, this season. I know Matt Rhule isn't listening to this and probably shut us off since we're talking more than one game at a time, but you can listen to it in the offseason, coach. That's fine.
He said it's okay for the fans to do that.
Fans can do it, yeah. But players,
I'll send this to him. I think I have his email somewhere.
Yeah, that's fair. You can catch him later. But, you know, like you said, the things just kind of fall in. You know, we're catching teams at the right time. You know, you catch Northwestern with their backup quarterback. You know, that works. You know, Sparty's in disarray. Purdue's, you know, got a new head coach this year, too, and they're not great. You know, we're going to play Maryland coming off of Penn State, and then they go to Michigan after us. I mean, that's probably the best time to play Maryland, really. They're, you know, likely going to lose to Penn State, and then they always slump at the end of the year. So
it's a sandwich game for them, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. With a sandwich game and that. And then, you know, like Rob said, Wisconsin hasn't looked great on offense. They've struggled in a lot of games. They're just still trying to figure out what they want to be. And Iowa, you know, bound to wave off some play they should have scored on. And, you know, it'll screw that up. But, you know, it can work. But, again, like you said earlier, Dave, all these games are losable, too. I mean, we've kind of been walking a fine line with turnovers in games. That's been a big problem. We're turning the ball over a lot. And even nearly turning it over even more, we're just happening to be falling on the fumbles a lot more than we were earlier in the season. If that, you know, if they can't hold on to the ball and that flips one of these games, you're turning the ball over 5 times a game. It's going to be hard for any defense to keep up in that. You know, as great as they are, you just got to stop doing that, putting your defense in that big of a bind. At some point, they're not going to be able to do that every play, and you're going to have a hard time keeping up. But if you can control those turnovers, you know, penalties weren't terrible against Northwestern. Northwestern's penalties were way worse than ours.
Yeah, they were.
Play that game smart. You know, as hurt as we are, other teams have a lot of injuries too, so just play to the strengths you have. Every one of these games is on paper winnable, so there's no reason you can't. And do you want to play Michigan again in, you know, the Big Ten championship? They might get banned from it before we get there. Who knows? So
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, we just get the second place team in the East. Yeah. That's not going to be a challenge.
It's not like it's Penn State or Ohio State or anything.
Yeah, no worries there. Yeah.
Talon, I mean, this is all fun. This is what being a fan is. You get to like dream a little bit, and this may be our best week to do it. But look, the challenge out there is this week with Purdue, and you know, that's going to be enough of a chore. But do you see this team still having enough enough personnel to make this run? I mean, maybe it's the injuries that hold us back from trying to make a run at the Big Ten West.
I think as long as our defense can kind of stay healthy, I mean, we've been rotating so many guys, so it's nice to see that, you know, none of our guys are playing an entire game of football on the defensive side. We're playing a lot of guys.
Rotations are amazing, really.
Yeah. And we're, those guys are stepping up, those young guys are absolutely playing lights out. So it's, the O-line scares me a little bit, but the receiver situation, I don't think, we're not a passing team anyway, so it doesn't really matter in that sense. We just need them to kind of go out, block, and make a couple catches here and there, you know. And if Malachi can keep, you know, being that deep threat for us, I think that'd be huge with the play action and having him sneak out. I think we control our own destiny. It scares me that we can get to a Big Ten championship game because we might have to play with Michigan or Penn State or Ohio State. But I think that's really good experience for these young guys and you know, build in for next year. We can sit there and say, hey, we're Big Ten champ or Big Ten West champs. You know, we had a
sure. Yeah. First year, that'd be amazing. I still not going to get to that expectation, but Boomer, I'm just talking about bowls. That would be just be fun to actually theorize where we're going. And you know that all the bowls that have Big Ten alliances with the conference will be chomping at the bit to get Nebraska, because the fan base has not been to a bowl in 7 years, and we are going to flock to that thing, don't you think?
Oh, I think so. As long as, even if it's like what the Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit in December, you know, I think fans will even show up to that at this point.
We were predicting just USC at a bowl game, so
I know I saw the Citrus Bowl somewhere. I'm like, man, I'd take Vegas or Phoenix or anything, right?
But if we went to Vegas, I just booked a trip to Vegas today because 311 day tickets went on sale this morning.
Well, congratulations, Ron.
Well, thank you. But I mean, I'll go to Vegas 2 times in 1 year. I don't care. And
I saw projecting Bowl versus Toledo, but you know, hey, it's a bowl. So
I'd rather see Nebraska play in the Raiders Stadium than the Raiders play in the Raiders Stadium. Right?
The Raiders barely play in that stadium, from what I've
seen. Oh my gosh,
they're not good. But
there'll be more
just,
Nebraska.
You know, just hitting that bowl and getting those extra practices would be huge for this team going into.
Yeah, the practices would be huge.
Yeah,
culture building.
We've missed out on that for 6 years now, and that's tough. You know, when you're trying to get a program up and turned around, you know.
Yeah,
that's just an oddity of college football. We can discuss on another show, but
race
really
to
want
six.
To get to that. Yeah,
let's get to six and we'll go from there. All right, guys, anything else on Nebraska specific?
Nope.
All right, let's head to the BetCast.
The BetCast picks of the week.
All right, guys, and I'll come back to Nebraska because we'll save that to the end, but let's start with Talon's favorite team, one of his favorite teams, Oklahoma. 10-point favorites going to Lawrence, dreaded Lawrence, Kansas, where it's just so hard to get out of there with a victory. I'm putting the over-unders on these tier two guys. This is 65.5, Oklahoma favored by 10. Talon, you've been on a streak with these guys. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to take OU to win. I think Kansas will cover. Does anyone know if Jalen Daniels is playing? I think that's the biggest difference. If he plays, I think he can keep them in games. If not, I think the third and fourth quarter, I think OU's defense can kind of put that game away. They struggled against UCF, but UCF was getting their quarterback back, and I think he's for real with John Rhys Plumlee is a really good quarterback. Yep. I think UCF is better than 3-4 this year. But I'll take Kansas to cover if Jalen's playing.
All right, so keeping it close. Boomer.
Yeah, I would wait on that till you get the final, you know, reports of who's playing, who isn't. So I wouldn't take it this early unless you're super confident one way or the other. You know, both those teams are putting up about 30 points at over-under. Oh boy, I'd probably shy away from that. I would agree Oklahoma wins this game. 10 points could be a lot, though. So right now, if I had to bet, I'd probably go Kansas to cover. But OU wins if you're going money line. So, yeah.
Jayhawk backers, Rob.
Yeah, I honestly, this one, it's a tough one because I would probably take the under on the 65.5. I don't like the even 10 on this. I'd probably buy it down to like 9.5 and just go with it if I was going to go with the point spread on that. Otherwise, I'd take OU on the money line. Depending on where it's at, too. I mean, what's the money line going to look like on
it's
that?
It's huge.
One
well? It's so, 10 yeah. points. It's
yeah. So I mean, it's not going to be profitable at all, right? Like a couple pennies on the dollar. So I mean, again, your best bet would probably be to buy it down to like 9.5 and, you know, go from there.
Yeah. I could look at like an OU first half. We the first half numbers aren't out yet. It's probably at maybe 4.5, I'm going to guess. It's usually maybe 5.5, but it's going to be under that touchdown. And so that'd be maybe an option. Mm-hmm. Let's head to the Big Ten and another beautiful game here. Sparty versus the Gophers. Michigan State heading into Minneapolis. Minnesota's 7-point favorites, over under 40. Who wants to take a stab at this one?
Well, it's the Big Ten West taking under on that one right away.
Michigan State might as well be in the Big
Ten. Anything over 35 points, take the under. You know, and I don't like that even seven. I never like that even seven, especially with the Big Ten West game. You know, so I'd probably take Sparty to cover because it's probably going to be like a 3-point game at the end of the game, and both teams are just going to be ugly.
All right. Talon?
I think I'm going to take Minnesota to cover that seven. I think
Sparty's wheels are falling off.
I mean, they just got demoralized at home by Michigan. What was it, 42-7 or something like that?
49-0.
They got shut out. They didn't score at all.
I figured they'd put up one touchdown. I guess not. I'll take Minnesota to cover. I think they're coming off a huge win. First time beating Iowa since like the 90s.
99, I think that was. Is that right? My goodness. Florida Rosedale's been in Iowa for that long. Is that right, Boomer? My goodness.
Yes, it has. I think Fleck was still in high school. He said last time they'd won it. So it's depressing in a lot of ways.
Yeah. That is depressing in many ways.
I'll take Minnesota to cover that. I don't think the Spartans got anything left.
Minnesota still in the Big Ten West race, no doubt about it. Boomer, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, this is the type of game Minnesota chokes and blows at some point in the season, kind of like they did against Northwestern earlier. Yeah. But frankly, if they hadn't lost to Northwestern, they'd have the inside shot at the Big Ten West. They'd probably skate into it. But Michigan State's just not good.
If we didn't lose to Minnesota, we'd have the inside shot.
That too, yeah, you know. Yeah. But yeah, Michigan State's just been a bad team. I don't know if I trust Minnesota to score a whole hell of a lot, but I don't think Michigan State is either. You might take the under on this one. I could see Minnesota winning this by 4-3 points, something like that. Of course, I could see them losing, too, the way they always go. But, yeah, I think I'd probably bet the under on this and maybe Sparty to cover because it's going to be a low-scoring affair. This isn't going to be a shootout by any stretch of the imagination. And
yep. I'm thinking I might take the under myself. That seems like the way to go. World's largest outdoor cocktail party. Georgia, Florida. Over under 47. Dogs are favored by 14.5. Is this still played in Jacksonville, right, Boomer?
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I guess it's at Florida, but it's actually a neutral site. I presume it's 50-50. What do you think here, Boomer? And what cocktail would you make for the game?
Well, I'd have to check the weather just to see, you know, do I want something in a little warmer or, you know, for warm weather or cooler weather? Yeah. I mean, it's going to be cool here this weekend, so we'll cover that when we get to our game. For this, I don't know. Georgia, they've been sluggish all year, but they've kind of started to turn a few things around these last couple of weeks, you know, smacking Kentucky around and, you know, had a warm-up game against Vanderbilt basically before this one.
God, they didn't do anything in that game. It was a miserable game to watch.
It was. You know, I don't love 14.5, you know, as Rob would say. I know Florida's coming off
the hooks. Got you there.
Shootout versus South Carolina. So I could see Georgia winning this by, you know, 13 pretty easily. You know, maybe a late score by Florida cuts it to that. You know, I take Georgia to win, but just because it's Georgia and, you know, the SEC's going to let them win.
All right, Boomer's taking the Gators and the backdoor cover, it sounds like. Talent.
I think so. Yeah, possibly. Yeah, that'd be – if I would have bet it, that's where I'd go.
I don't know because Georgia doesn't have Brock Bowers playing. He's going to be out for 4 or 5 weeks, maybe six. I'll take Florida to cover this one, and I'll take the under. I think it's going to be a close game. You know, Florida played, I'll take Florida to cover. That's all I got to say. I just don't know.
Right. Rob, what do you think?
Man, this could be the game that ruins the SEC's chances to get into
the
championship game, right? Like, so I'm looking Florida to win this, Georgia to lose the SEC championship game. Neither Georgia nor Alabama makes the college football playoffs.
If they both go on with
season
one loss,
over for all the SEC, that's it. Just because, you know, the Pac-12 gets two teams in, and the Big Ten gets and the Big Ten gets two teams in, and then that's it, right there.
All
right,
everybody
wins. Yeah,
Rob's betting advice always from the gut.
No, really though, it just feels like a game because it's not being talked about as much as it usually is, right? Like watching all the shows, everything like that. It's the kind of game where like Florida shows up and wins, right? Like that's just kind of the way that things tend to go in the SEC sometimes. And I kind of have that weird feeling about it. So, which means put all the house on Georgia.
Yeah. Rob's gut is speaking always. Yes, always. Yeah. Okay. Let's head out to that vaunted Pac-12, and you've got Oregon with the hook on the right side here, potentially at -6.5 at Utah. We know Cam Rising is finally off. He's not going to come back for Utah. Over under at 48.5. Seems maybe a little high considering Utah's defense is their strength. Rob, what do you think here? Ducks, Utes?
Oh, yeah. Ducks to cover and then some. Okay. I think, you know, Utah coming off that win against USC, that's kind of their, you know, what they do, right? I mean, they beat USC, but I think Oregon is on a mission right now. This could be their year to make it to the playoffs. And I think that they are not going to stray on that mission to a team like Utah right now.
All right. Well, I mean, Utah keeps on finding ways to win, but, and Oregon did lose to Washington. Pac-12 is kind of beating themselves up. Talon, thoughts here?
I'm going to take Oregon to cover. I think it's going to be kind of a defensive matchup the first three quarters, and I think Oregon's offense pulls away. Utah was in that game because USC's defense is utterly atrocious. I mean, Utah's offense before that game looked very pedestrian in the single game that they played, and USC's defense is the reason why they are not going to be going to a Pac-12 championship game this year.
Yep.
I'll take Oregon to cover in this one on the fourth.
All right, can we make it 3-for-3, Boomer?
Yeah, I think I'll agree with that. I think Oregon wins this game. I think they'll cover. Oregon had the tough game with Washington that they lost. That was a heartbreaker, but they rebounded well against Washington State, which was a dangerous team they could have easily lost to. And they won that by, it was double digits, wasn't
16.
It?
Yeah, they almost covered for me. I had them at 20. They had it at 22, and then they gave up a late touchdown.
Yeah, and I tend to agree. I don't think Utah quite has the offense to keep up with it, and their defense is good, but I don't know if it'll keep Oregon from scoring.
No one giving the home field advantage any credence here? Utah.
Yeah, you know, the altitude is there, but it's not like it's Wyoming or anything, so yeah.
I mean, they tend to win at home, man.
They do, but you know, we'll go with the Ducks for this, and you know, I might set up a good rematch later at the end of the year, Washington-Oregon for the Pac-12 title.
Sure. All right, let's hit a few of these. Just speak to it if you're interested. This is actually a ranked matchup. I can't believe that. Duke at Louisville.
Is this a basketball game?
It should be. It would make a good one. Louisville
spread indicates it and everything, right?
Like, well, the over-under maybe.
The over-under doesn't, but yeah. And
Louisville basketball last year was horrendous, but they are favored by 4 here at home. Is it still called Papa John Stadium? Over under 46. Anybody excited about this one?
I think Duke, you know, Duke's not a terrible team, right? They beat Clemson.
No, Riley Leonard's been beat up though. He came back but then had to leave in that game last week. So I think the question is, does Duke have the quarterback or not? You know,
yeah, that's fair. I mean, no, I have no interest in this game. I mean, I had to pick it in our pick'em league that we're in, Dave, and I took Duke because nobody's picking Duke, so I picked Duke because those are the games I've been winning this year.
Strategic.
It's percentages, like how many people in the league are picking this team or whatever. Like it's a green and red bar, and the green bar is heavy Louisville.
I think Duke completely squashed NC State with a backup quarterback, and Louisville played them tough. Duke's defense is for real. I think
they're good too.
And they really probably should have almost won. If Riley Leonard stayed in that game last week against Florida State, they probably win that game.
They were up.
Yeah, I think Duke's defense is for real, and I think they win this game.
All right. All right, we'll run with that. That's okay. Tennessee, Kentucky, Vols trying to bounce back. They had Alabama right where they wanted them, and then got curb stomped in the second half. Over under 51.5. Boomer, Rob, Talon, anybody jumping on the Vols here?
I mean, I did. I picked them to win and cover. I mean, that's, 51.5 seems really, really high for any SEC matchup. Really.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Tennessee, a touchdown win isn't something that would surprise me in any way possible. So, I mean, I know it's at Kentucky, but I think that's the only reason it's 3.5 and not higher.
I think I probably agree with that. I mean, Tennessee's okay. That, you know, that second half against Alabama was god awful. They just completely let that game get away from them. But Kentucky's just coming off, you know, getting throttled by Georgia, and they lost to Missouri a couple weeks ago. I think they had the last week off, but yeah, they haven't looked good these last couple games against, you know, decent opponents. And yeah, I think Kentucky or Tennessee can win this by, you know, cover that spread 3.5.
All right, let's head back out west. Air Force 7-0 for the first time since 1977 or something like that, or some crazy number. And trying to keep it up, coming to Fort Collins, over under at 48.5. Colorado State has been covering, but not always winning. What do you think here? Falcons can cover at 9?
Are you asking me or asking Skip?
Well, I think Skip would probably take Air Force.
I think he would. Yeah,
he
bets against him all the time. He's the Vegas Jer of the CSU fan base, right? Like, you know, bet the other team so that way at least you can feel good by winning some money. You know, but I mean, 9 Air Force, 9 over CSU. I mean, which CSU team are we going to see? You know what I mean? Like, and that's kind of the problem is that they have been Jekyll and Hyde all season long.
Sure.
But I mean,
and Air Force didn't cover last week. And I mean, it's just tough for an academy team, even an Air Force team that's pretty darn good and that run is a run heavy team to really cover big numbers, right? You know, so the 9 is important to be under 10, but it still seems to be
is it higher altitude in Colorado Springs or in you know, Fort Collins? Because I'm just kidding.
I do. Yeah, they got to be very close. I think Air Force is actually the second highest after Wyoming. So I think Air Force is slightly higher elevation.
Well, yeah, and for those listening that don't realize that they're about 2 hours apart, 2.5 hours apart.
Yes,
in the state of Colorado. Which, so
instead of Colorado, you can have a huge terrain difference in 2.5 hours.
Right? You really can. You really can.
I mean, Colorado Springs is 1,000 feet higher than Fort Collins.
There you go. I mean,
not insignificant. So there you go.
No, it is not. They're going to be, it'll be like they running out in California.
All right, so we'll see you there, I guess. A couple more, and let's get out of here. Big one in the Big Ten here, night game, Ohio State going to Camp Randall, favored by 14.5 over Whiskey, over under at 43.5 for, I mean, Ohio State team, that's really low, but, I mean, they do not have the same offense they've had in the past. Talon, what do you think? Buckeyes, Badgers?
I don't believe in Wisconsin's offense. Ohio State's defense is one of the best in the country. I think Penn State's offense is way better than Wisconsin's. Put them down. I'll take Ohio State to cover. I just think that team's way too good. Wisconsin doesn't have enough offense. They lose their other running back, and aren't they down to their backup quarterback now too?
Mordecai's out. Yep.
Yeah, I don't see Wisconsin game. It'll be one of those Ohio State, you know, where they're kind of thinking they're going to play tough, and then Ohio State comes out and bludgeons them. So I'll take Ohio State to cover.
All right. Buckeyes, Boomer?
Yeah, I'd kind of agree with that. I think this might play out a little more like the Maryland game. I think it might be a little closer a quarter or two since you got the Camp Randall effect and, you know, Wisconsin try to keep the ball away from them. But Ohio State will pull away in the second half and probably win by 20 or so would be my prediction on this one. So.
All right. Rob, what's your gut telling you?
I think Ohio State comes out, lays a whooping on them, takes away Wisconsin and will to live, and Wisconsin doesn't win another game the rest of the year.
I mean, I kind of doubt that, but looks like we had a commenter there. Who is that? 398? 3Deep98. Liking Wisconsin in the points. All right. Yeah. I don't know. I'll need to do more research on this one. And look, I mean, trends, but
okay, so maybe they win Indiana and Northwestern, but they're not beating Nebraska and Minnesota. How's that?
All right, we'll find out. Well, let's talk about Nebraska a little bit here. Purdue comes to town, another early afternoon game. Nebraska right now favored by 2.5. I think that's still holding, over under at 40. As Nebraska game has been trending, I definitely look at the under on that. Rob, I know you like the 2.5. Boomer, Talon, what do you think?
I'm going to take us to cover. I don't think there's going to be a ton of points scored. I think we find a way to win by 7 against Purdue. I think our defense is going to shut them down. I think we're going to struggle in the first half to kind of figure out their pass game, but I think in the second half we'll be able to slow them down. They're not going to have a run game. I think we've proven that against these other teams. This is more of a arid scheme with a little – they like to try to balance it out a little bit, but I'll take Nebraska by 7.
All right. Boomer?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. The weather is going to be – it's right now calling for rain and cold. I think this is going to be kind of a slow game. A lot of just – unless Satterfield, gets hit in the head with a tack hammer, hopefully he'll run the ball, a reasonable amount and just hold on to the ball. I think this will end up being a, 20-7 type win, I think, for Nebraska. If Purdue gets 7 at all, they might get 6 or 9 or something weird number like that. But yeah, I'd feel okay with Nebraska. I don't usually bet the Huskers. And since our state is still thinks it's 1952, we're not allowed to bet in a Husker home game here. So
I'll have to leave
it up to you guys.
Yeah. And if Sack gets hit with a tack hammer, I just want to put it out there that it was not Boomer. Okay.
Right.
Pure coincidence.
No, that guy does nothing but work and go home. So there's no way it's going to be him. So,
The 2.5 is a really small number, so if you like the Huskers, I totally get taking it. It is a little concerning to me that it's that low and it hasn't moved, just in the sense, I think it was at 3 and got down to 2.5. On a neutral site, you're telling me this is a pick'em or maybe Boilermakers by 1, Purdue's 2-5. Talon's point, they've had a tougher schedules than some of the other opponents we've played. So
it could just be Vegas not believing that Nebraska can win 3 in a row because they haven't done it in so long.
Yeah.
Too.
I mean, and maybe the injury report probably played a role in that too. Keep it down.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear it. It all adds up. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be a tough one. I think we can win, but, 2.5 is pretty much taking a money line. Right. So, I think you can do that if you like it, but I don't think it's going to be an easy game. I think Purdue will come out of their bye week ready to go. So,
well, the last time that I couldn't watch a game, all right, we blew that team out. That was the Northwestern game 3 years ago. So I was at a 311 show this weekend. This weekend I will be in Disneyland listening to the game on the radio like I was that Northwestern game. All bets are off, man. I'm telling you, we're going to blow them out.
Well, if we score touchdowns, you have to go to it's a Wonderful World every single time we score a touchdown.
Actually, Small World is closed right now for renovations.
What? World is closed?
Trust me, man. My 4-year-old daughter is.
That song will get in your head, Rob,
It already is. We listen to it in the car daily.
All right, guys. Let's get out of here with some parting shots. And let's start with Talon.
So I'm drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit. I think we're gonna win these next couple games. I think we're gonna split the Wisconsin Iowa game. I'll be okay if we lose to Wisconsin, but we can't lose to Iowa this year. That'd be the one thing. I think the Big Ten West is gonna be kind of a carousel. I think teams are just gonna kind of beat up on each other, and it's gonna be down to us, Iowa and Wisconsin, to go to a Big Ten championship game. I don't think it matters who plays in that Big Ten championship game. They're gonna get smoked. It's going to be rough, but I think we can win. I think we only lose one the rest of the year. That's going to be to Wisconsin.
All right. That's a hot take right there. That's a hot take. All right, Boomer, what do you have for your shot?
Yeah, I just don't know what he's saying. I don't know how that shakes out. I have to do the math, because even if we lose to Wisconsin, they still have to play Ohio State. And, there's a lot of.
Yeah, after this week.
Yeah, the tiebreakers, the Big Ten West, it could just be some bizarre series of numbers. We'll have to put Rob on to calculate with his scientific.
You don't want that. I'll put my daughter on it to calculate.
Yeah, so maybe we'll figure that out.
Down to closer to Rob playing Pinochle versus the mascot of
My grandfather taught me how to play. I'm really good at it. So
good. So all right. Yeah. And the other big shout out I want to give out is to Nebraska volleyball. You know, the weekend match against Wisconsin. Yes. I mean, that phenomenal. Was just epic volleyball to watch. And the viewership that had, I mean, it outdrew the
great
football
TV game. Ratings. You
know, we were the Husker football was the lead in to a volleyball matchup of epic proportions. And, you know, it's great to see that sport slowly building that recognition it deserves. And just, you know, the little rematch later in the year, hopefully it'll draw this, you know, even better viewers at that point. And I'm likely to meet again in the postseason. So again, congrats to the Husker women volleyball, number one in the country. And let's just keep rolling with that.
So, yeah.
We're a volleyball school.
So. Volleyball state, right? I love that idea.
That too. Yep.
All right, Rob, get us out of here.
Well, since we're talking about volleyball, we may as well bring up women's soccer as well, because they also have a share of the Big Ten championship there. And I think they're ranked number two in the Big Ten tournament, I believe, if there is one.
Number two seed.
That's right. So, I mean, great job, ladies. Nebraska is a women's sports school, and we're not afraid to admit it right now. And, you know, the football team can only aspire to be as great as you. Troy asked a question on here to get put up, and it's, you know, what's your message to the wet blankets in the fan base? And quite frankly, as far as I'm concerned, they should just put themselves out to dry right now, hang it up a little bit, maybe throw yourself through the cycle one or two times, because the fact of the matter is this team is doing something right now that we haven't seen in a while, which is winning. Again, 4-1 in our last five games, right? And somehow some of these people are still managing to come out and cry about wins. And if you're one of those people, like, you may just want to find a new hobby, because Nebraska football is not going to be for you right now during this rebuilding process.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, this is a good offseason talk. I mean, I think some of this is rooted in our blue blood status, and some fans just can't ever, you know, accept anything beyond great football. And I mean, you know, offense isn't quite there yet, but the culture is being set. It is coming along. And I think there's, you know, bright days ahead here. You know, if we can get to 6 wins with this type of beat up roster, this coaching staff is doing really good work. And that's what we wanted for a long time.
Imagine what we'll do with more depth, another year to build that roster up. Yeah. You know, it's a young roster, exactly. Right? Yep. We don't have a ton of older guys on there, and bring in some more transfers to, you know, in some key positions. And that 24 class we got coming,
it's year one.
It's tits, man. They're so good. That 24 class looks great. We got a ton of kids in Nebraska, kids who want to wear the N. They grew up rooting for the N. I mean, this is what Nebraska football is built on. It's the foundation of this program. And Rule is just doing it the right way, and drink the Rule-Aid, people. Come on, man. Wake up. This is
happening. All right. That's great, Rob. Appreciate it, buddy. All right. Well, guys, that was a fun show. I think we got some winners on the bets, and I think we've definitely broken down where the offense and defense is at. Let's go out there and get a win versus the Boilermakers on Saturday. And for now, let's call that another Go Big Red cast.
Go Big Red.
Heard at Sports Network production.
All right, good show.